And now, Chapter 17, Punishment and Reward of Kali. Sutta Goswami said, after reaching that place, Maharaj Parikshit observed that a lower caste Shudra, dressed like a king, was beating a cow and a bull with a club as if they had no owner. The bull was as white as a white lotus flower. He was terrified of the Shudra who was beating him, and he was so afraid that he was standing on one leg, trembling and urinating. Although the cow is beneficial because one can draw religious principles from her, she was now rendered poor and calfless. Her legs were being beaten by a Shudra. There were tears in her eyes, and she was distressed and weak. She was hankering after some grass in the field. Maharaj Parikshit, well equipped with arrows and bow, and seated on a gold embossed chariot, spoke to him, the Shudra, with a deep voice resounding like thunder. He said, "Oh, who are you? You appear to be strong, yet you dare kill within my protection those who are helpless? By your dress, you pose yourself to be a godly man, a king. But by your deeds you are opposing the principles of the twice-born Kshatriyas. You rogue, do you dare beat an innocent cow because Lord Krishna and Arjun, the carrier of the Gandiva bow, are out of sight? Since you are beating the innocent in a secluded place, you are considered a culprit and therefore deserve to be killed." Then he, Maharaj Parikshit, asked the bull, "Oh, who are you? Are you a bull as white as a white lotus? Or are you a demigod? You have lost three of your legs and are moving on only one. Are you some demigod causing us grief in the form of a bull? Now, for the first time in a kingdom well protected by the arms of the kings of the Kuru dynasty, I see you grieving with tears in your eyes. Up till now, no one on earth has ever shed tears because of royal negligence. O son of Sarabi, you need lament no longer now. There is no need to fear this low-class Shudra. And O mother cow, as long as I am living as the ruler and subduer of all envious men, there is no cause for you to cry. Everything will be good for you. O chaste one, the king's good name, duration of life, and good rebirth vanish when all kinds of living beings are terrified by miscreants in his kingdom. It is certainly the prime duty of the king to subdue first the sufferings of those who suffer. Therefore, I must kill this most wretched man because he is violent against other living beings." He, Maharaj Parikshit, repeatedly addressed and questioned the bull thus, "O son of Sarabi, who has cut off your three legs? In the state of the kings who are obedient to the laws of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, there is no one as unhappy as you. O bull, you are offenseless and thoroughly honest. Therefore, I wish all good to you. Please tell me of the perpetrator of these mutilations, which blackmailed the reputation of the sons of Prithah. Whoever causes offenseless living beings to suffer must fear me anywhere and everywhere in the world. By curbing dishonest miscreants, one automatically benefits the offenseless. An upstart living being who commits offenses by torturing those who are offenseless shall be directly uprooted by me, even though he be a denizen of heaven with armor and decorations. The supreme duty of the ruling king is to give all protection to law-abiding persons and to chastise those who stray from the ordinances of the scriptures in ordinary times when there is no emergency. The personality of religion said, "These words just spoken by you befit a person of the Pandava dynasty. Captivated by the devotional qualities of the Pandavas, even Lord Krishna, the personality of Godhead, performed duties as a messenger. O greatest among human beings, it is very difficult to ascertain the particular miscreant who has caused our sufferings, because we are bewildered by all the different opinions of theoretical philosophers. Some of the philosophers who deny all sorts of duality declare that one's own self is responsible for his personal happiness and distress. Others say that superhuman powers are responsible, while yet others say that activity is responsible, and the gross materialists maintain that nature is the ultimate cause. There are also some thinkers who believe that no one can ascertain the cause of distress by argumentation, nor know it by imagination, nor express it by words. O sage amongst kings, judge for yourself by thinking over all this with your own intelligence." Sutta Goswami said, "O best among the Brahmins, the Emperor Parikshit, thus hearing the personality of religion speak, was fully satisfied, and without mistake or regret, he gave his reply." The king said, "O you who are in the form of a bull, you know the truth of religion, and you are speaking according to the principle that the destination intended for the perpetrator of irreligious acts is also intended for one who identifies the perpetrator. You are no other than the personality of religion. Thus it is concluded that the Lord's energies are inconceivable. No one can estimate them by mental speculation or by word jugglery. In the age of Satya, or truthfulness, your four legs were established by our four principles of austerity, cleanliness, mercy, and truthfulness. But it appears that three of your legs are broken due to rampant irreligion in the form of pride, lust for women, and intoxication. You are now standing on one leg only, which is your truthfulness, and you are somehow or other hobbling along. But quarrel personified, or Kali, flourishing by deceit, is also trying to destroy that leg. The burden of the earth was certainly diminished by the personality of Godhead and by others as well. When he was present as an incarnation, all good was performed because of his auspicious footprints. Now she, the chaste one, being unfortunately forsaken by the personality of Godhead, laments her future with tears in her eyes, for now she is being ruled and enjoyed by lower class men who pose as rulers. Sutta Goswami said, "Maharaj Parikshit, who could fight 1,000 enemies single-handedly, thus pacified the personality of religion and the earth. Then he took up his sharp sword to kill the personality of Kali, who is the cause of all irreligion. When the personality of Kali understood that the king was willing to kill him, he at once abandoned the dress of a king and, under pressure of fear, completely surrendered to him, bowing his head. Maharaj Pariksit, who was qualified to accept surrender and worthy of being sung in history, did not kill the poor surrendered and fallen Kali, but smiled compassionately, for he was kind to the poor. The king thus said, "We have inherited the fame of Arjuna. Therefore, since you have surrendered yourself with folded hands, you need not fear for your life. But you cannot remain in my kingdom, for you are the friend of irreligion." If the personality of Kali, irreligion, is allowed to act as a man-god or an executive head, certainly irreligious principles like greed, falsehood, robbery, incivility, treachery, misfortune, cheating, quarrel, and vanity will abound. Therefore, O friend of irreligion, you do not deserve to remain in a place where experts perform sacrifices according to truth and religious principles for the satisfaction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In all sacrificial ceremonies, although sometimes a demigod is worshipped, the Supreme Lord Personality of Godhead is worshipped because he is the supersoul of everyone and exists both inside and outside like the air. Thus, it is he only who awards all welfare to the worshipper. Sri Suta Goswami said, "The personality of Kali, thus being ordered by Maharaj Pariksit, began to tremble in fear. Seeing the king before him like Yamaraj, ready to kill him, Kali spoke to the king as follows.
O your majesty, though I may live anywhere and everywhere under your order, I shall but see you with bow and arrows wherever I look. Therefore, O chief, amongst the protectors of religion, please fix some place for me where I can live permanently under the protection of your government."
Suta Goswami said, "Maharaj Pariksit, thus being petitioned by the personality of Kali, gave him permission to reside in places where gambling, drinking, prostitution, and animal slaughter were performed. The personality of Kali asked for something more, and because of his begging, the king gave him permission to live where there is gold, because wherever there is gold, there is also falsity, intoxication, lust, envy, and enmity. Thus, the personality of Kali, by the directions of Maharaj Pariksit, the son of Uttara, was allowed to live in those five places. Therefore, whoever desires progressive well-being, especially kings, religionists, public leaders, Brahmins, and sannyasis, should never come in contact with the four above-mentioned irreligious principles." Thereafter, the king re-established the lost legs of the personality of religion, the bull, and by encouraging activities, he sufficiently improved the condition of the earth. The most fortunate emperor Maharaj Pariksit, who was entrusted with the kingdom of Hastinapur by Maharaj Yudhisthira when he desired to retire to the forest, is now ruling the world with great success due to his being glorified by the deeds of the kings of the Kuru dynasty. Maharaj Pariksit, the son of Abhimanyu, is so experienced that by dint of his expert administration and patronage, it has been possible for you to perform a sacrifice such as this. Thus ends the 17th chapter of the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Punishment and Reward of Kali.